check. I'm pretty good.
Not as good as you. Checking?
Huh?
Where are you checking?
Oh, I'm not saying. This is a family program. How are you?
I'm great.
Good. Unfortunately, your publicity people never sent me any like screeners of any of your work, so I'm
I sent Rod Belmont a copy of Soulmates on Tuesday of last week. So.
Soulmates?
Yes.
Never got it.
Oh.
Did not come.
That's too bad.
Yes, it is too bad. But well, we're gonna have to go forward.
That's
okay. Go forward, young man.
Yes.
Okay, I will. We're talking with Suzanne Wang, and it's W-H-A-N-G. And,
it's actually pronounced Huang.
Oh, well, hold on a second. Wong. See, it should be W-H-O-N-G then.
No, it's not an O sound. It's sort of like a soft A sound, like Don Juan.
Like Juan.
Yes,
Like Juan. Like J-U-A-N.
Yes, exactly, but then with a G at the end.
Ah. Suzanne Wan.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Very good.
I want to apply the thank you all for. It's a great way to start an interview. Pronouncing people's name wrong. But hey,
it's okay. Everyone does that. It's a Korean name, and it's common in Korea, but not here.
No, you're not from Korea, right?
I was born in Virginia, but both of my parents were born in Seoul, South Korea.
Ah. Do you ever get back to Korea?
I was there when I was a little kid, but I haven't been back.
No. Your parents go back?
Yes, they do, especially my mom. She likes to go back often.
But she doesn't take you?
No, I'm pretty busy.
You're too busy.
But I would like to go. I would like to go back.
Now, my wife is a huge HGTV fan.
She is.
And I know that you're hosting your fourth season of House Hunters on the station.
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Now, for those of us who have never seen the show, tell us a little bit about it.
Well, basically, it's a half-hour show. It's on, I think, Thursday nights pretty much across the country. Check your local listings.
Check your local listings.
But basically, it's a lifestyles type of a program. It's not an informational bullet point kind of a show. You get to follow a couple. Sometimes it's a single person, sometimes it's a couple, with their realtor. They're interviewed about what they're looking for in a house and why they're looking for a house, and then you get to go and take the journey with them and look inside the houses that they go to see and find out what they like and don't like about each house. And
wow.
By the end of the show, they generally find their place and they've moved in.
We should have had a camera on my wife and I when we were looking for a house.
What was that like?
We took this guy, this real estate guy, on, I think we went on at least 14 or 15 expeditions at houses.
Mm-hmm.
Each time, you know, telling him we didn't like that, we didn't like this, we didn't like this, and trying to narrow it down so he'd get more of an idea, right?
Mm-hmm.
We must have seen 60 or 70 homes.
Wow.
And finally, this guy gave up on us. He just didn't call us. He kind of disappeared. So I found another real estate person, and the second time we went out with this person, we found the house we bought.
Wow.
So if you had followed us around with cameras, I think your cameraman probably would have fallen asleep as well.
Probably would have been exhausted.
It would have been a long series. Could have been a 13-week series.
It's a very emotional process, isn't it?
It's very, you know, it's interesting too. When a husband and wife go together, and my wife liked the, soft colonial type homes, with the really fancy frilly stuff in it. I like the big contemporaries with the manly man wood floors and the manly man this. And it was very, very funny because we finally ended up buying, of course, what she wanted. Of course.
Of course.
Because that's the way it is.
But you know what's interesting is that I'm one of those people, if I see an open house, even if I'm not looking to buy a house, I love going in and seeing what the different homes look like or how they're decorated, or maybe they're empty, and I like to see the floor plan and, you know, the different styles of houses. And I think that's the kind of person who loves watching the show.
Yeah, I like to do that as well. I like to go to different open houses and get ideas for decorating rooms and things.
Yeah.
So they can do that through House Hunters.
Yes. And I believe that we're the second highest rated show on the network.
Really?
We are number two.
What's number one?
Designers Challenge, I think.
Is Trading Places on that network, too?
No, I believe that's on TLC.
Oh, okay. So you're number two.
Yeah.
And moving higher all the time.
We try harder.
Wow. Now, how did you end up getting that gig in the first place?
Let's see. I believe that I had met with one of the people from HGTV when he used to work at the Discovery Network to possibly host a show on that network, and that didn't end up happening. But then when House Hunters came into fruition, he recommended me to Pytown Productions, who is the production company in Los Angeles that produces House Hunters. And so basically, you know, I've done a lot of hosting. I hosted, in fact, you interviewed my friend Tom Bergeron, who I used to work with on FX and Fox, doing a show called Breakfast Time.
Well, Tom was an old buddy of mine years ago.
Really?
He was in Boston.
We did Breakfast Time and Fox After Breakfast together. I was one of the four roving field hosts that traveled the United States doing live human interest segments for the Fox After Breakfast morning show that was based in New York City. And Tom and I were friends from a long, long time ago in Boston when I used to do improv comedy there, and he used to do a talk show called People Are Talking.
Right, and I used to be on it all the time.
Oh, my God!
Because I had a singles show called Singles Lifeline on the radio. And I used to be a regular on that show and the Good Day Show in Boston.
So, you know, I love Boston. I lived there for 6 years. I acted there. I did comedy with a troupe called the Angry Tuxedos way back when. And I love that town. In fact, you know that I'm going to be performing at the Boston Comedy Festival.
I don't know that.
Oh, yes. I just got accepted into the Boston Comedy Festival.
Ooh.
And it's going to be May 2nd through the 10th. Because I also do stand-up now. This is my new thing. But we're sort of digressing. I was hosting all these different shows. I did bloopers with Dick Clark on NBC. I worked on FX on three different shows. I worked on Fox After Breakfast. I did New Attitudes on Lifetime with Lianza Cornette. So based on a lot of those things, a lot of times people see you on television.
Right.
And you really don't even have to audition.
Now, we were talking about Tom Bergeron for a minute, because he's a great guy. He's one of the nicest people in show business you'll ever meet. Now, how's Dick Clark?
Dick Clark is the best, the best. Here's a great story because it connects to Tom Bergeron. I was co-hosting Fox After Breakfast one morning because their regular co-host must have been sick. And it happened to be New Year's Eve. Dick Clark came on our show as a guest, so I'm in the studio with Tom co-hosting, and Dick Clark comes on and we interview him. And Dick and I really hit it off. And, you know, it was an hour-long show, and we had a great rapport, and that was it.
Right.
No, thanks. Bye. Nice meeting you. Cut to a year later, and I get a phone call from my agent, my hosting agent, who says, yes, I'm negotiating your contract to be Dick Clark's co-host on Bloopers on NBC. And I said, what? There was no audition. There was no lunch meeting. No, I didn't
even
know
you.
What he was talking about. Yep. And basically what happened was NBC told Dick Clark that they wanted him to have a young, hip, female co-host. And he said, oh, find that woman, Suzanne Wong, from Fox After Breakfast from a year ago, and offer it to her.
Isn't that amazing, huh?
The man has such a memory, and he knew that it would work. We had a great time working together. He let me ad-lib with him on the show. He let me give him a hard time. And he is just, he does what he says he's going to do. He does more than you and I do in a day put together. He's got so much energy, and he surrounds himself with people who are great at what they do, the best hair and makeup and wardrobe people and crew, because he's been doing this, over 50 years.
Sure.
So he surrounds himself with great people.
The other thing that I find interesting about you is that not only do you do comedy, but you're an actress as well.
Yes.
You've done a lot of stuff. I mean, I look at your resume here, from The Practice to NYPD Blue and all these different things,
and
guest starring role on VIP.
That was fun. I got to kick some ass. Can you say ass?
Now you get to hang with Pamela Anderson, huh?
Yes, I did, who is so beautiful in person. It's just mind-boggling. Her body, she wears these outfits, look like they're made of dental floss, and she looks fantastic, and she's had two kids.
Yep.
Her body actually looks like an airbrushed photograph.
It's amazing,
isn't
it?
In real life, that's what she looks like. She's incredibly beautiful.
It's the best money can buy.
I don't know. I don't know if it's her skin, you know, unless she had all her skin replaced.
She did. She had an epidermal replacement.
Yeah, I guess
so. She went to Michael Jackson and got his old stuff.
So, I just also worked on this new Ben Stiller movie, directed and written by John Hamburg, who co-wrote Meet the Parents. And I got to work with Ben Stiller and Jennifer Aniston.
Jennifer Aniston, too, huh?
Yes.
Now, was Brad hanging around at all?
No, he wasn't, but she was so down-to-earth and nice, just like everybody says, and Ben is so funny and so good at improvising.
And Ben is great, and, of course, we've had his dad and his mom on the show, and what a great lineage he comes from.
I know. I remember growing up watching Stiller and Mira.
Yeah.
My dad was a big fan.
Now, you were also on an episode of Life Moments as well?
Yes. Oh, I'm so proud of that. In September of last year, I performed at the Las Vegas Comedy Festival. I entered this contest called the Laugh Across America Stand-Up Comedy Contest, where they went to, I don't know, maybe 10 different cities across the country. And, you know, you got your 2 minutes to go in and do some stand-up, and then they picked finalists from each city, and I was one of the 10 Los Angeles finalists. So I got flown to Las Vegas and put up at the Stardust Hotel, and I got to perform at all these showcases, and my parents flew from Virginia to support me at the festival because they're the best parents in the world. And I ended up winning Best Up-and-Coming Comic of 2002, and I got a trophy at this awards ceremony.
Cool.
And Shelley Berman was there, and George Carlin, and Norm Crosby, and Joanne Worley, Debbie Reynolds, Jane Meadows. I mean, it was like, I felt like Cinderella.
That's kind of cool, huh?
It was very cool. And so Life Moments basically interviewed me here in L.A. before I left for the festival about, you know, how I was feeling and what I would love to have happen. And then they filmed me at the festival, and then what ended up happening is that Ken Cragen, who, I don't know if you know who he is, he's been a manager for 40 years. He represented the Smothers Brothers and a lot of musicians like Kenny Rogers, Lionel Richie, Trisha Yearwood. He saw footage of my comedy from the festival and pursued me and signed me.
Ooh, cool.
Yeah, he's also the creator and producer of We Are the World and Hands Across America.
Exactly, yeah. And I know.
In fact, the guy's an icon, sort of like Dick Clark, but in the management world.
Exactly. We've actually spoken to him because we booked guests through him before.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So he's just the greatest. I'm so excited about that because I feel for the first time that I feel it's the biggest thing to happen in my entertainment career is for him to want to work with me.
One of the things I think is always interesting for comedians, and you see it with Seinfeld and with Drew Carey and a lot of the folks who, and Roseanne in particular was one of the first, you take this persona from the stage and you create a show from it.
Yeah.
And I understand you have a persona, an alter ego that you created as well.
Yes.
And are we going to see this alter ego on TV or in the movies or something?
I hope so, and I have a feeling if you see her, it'll end up being on cable. Because basically the premise is that her name is Sung Hee Park. She is fresh off the boat from Seoul, South Korea. She wears a traditional Korean dress called a hanbok, which mine is shiny pink. And she's got the little Korean shoes and the little Korean fan. And she's never done stand-up comedy before. It's her first time ever, so she's very nervous, and she just really wants to do well. And she speaks with a very thick Korean accent.
Uh-huh.
And then she tells these awful jokes, just terrible old jokes, you know, racist jokes, completely politically incorrect, shocking.
Can you give me a sample of her?
What am I allowed to say on your...
You can say whatever you want. Rated R. Whatever you want to say, you can say.
Okay, well, the first line is, she comes out and she holds up two fingers, and she's very nervous and shaking. And she says, two nigga walking into bar. And the place is silent for about 2 seconds, and then they start laughing hysterically because they're thinking, no, she did not just say two nigga walking into bar. But she's coming from a place of ignorance and sort of naivete. So it's sort of like people are staring at her like, no, she's not saying racist things. And then it just becomes obvious that she's going to make fun of everybody. Because another joke is, how can you tell if a Korean broke into your house? And the answer is, your dog is missing and homework is done. But that's just, you know, like, that's also offensive to Koreans.
Oh, really?
Easily, yeah. But she just, she'll sing a song, she'll do a rap song, she'll tell old jokes, she makes up her own jokes, you know, everything.
Now, how much of your mom is in this character?
My mom is a little bit in this character in that she really can't tell a joke to save her life. My dad is great at telling jokes,
uh-huh.
But my mom is terrible at it, and she has an accent. And so it's sometimes funnier to try to get her to tell a joke because she gets all discombobulated. And she says, oh, a priest and the rabbi. Oh, no, wait a minute. Just the rabbi walk into bar, and he says, I was talking to the duck. And it doesn't make sense because she says the punchline in the middle, and we're all laughing and falling on the floor because she's really trying hard. But it's, you know, it's funnier when she's not funny.
Well, it sounds like that maybe she was a little bit of an inspiration for you.
A little bit, a little bit. But my mother is not ignorant and she's not racist.
Yeah.
You know, the difference is that she does come from a place of sweetness and really trying hard to tell the joke, but it's really just not her strong point.
So is there anything else that we can talk about that you're promoting, that you're telling people about today?
Well, I would love for people to come out to the Boston Comedy Festival. We'll be performing, I think, at Nick's Comedy Stop and Remington's and the Comedy Connection May 2nd through the 10th. And I don't know if you've been to the Comedy Festival, but I guess they have. Yeah, so they do a semi-finalist that they pick each night. And then all of those finalists perform on the final night, and then there's one big winner.
And then they give Suzanne the prize as the winner of the Boston Comedy Festival.
We hope so. And it's a $10,000 prize.
Ooh.
The Las Vegas Comedy Festival wasn't a cash prize. It was a trophy.
Yeah, I'd rather take the 10 grand than a trophy.
But, you know, I've also never gotten a trophy in my life because I was never...
You weren't athletic.
No, not really. So I never got the, you know, football, tennis, baseball trophy.
I got a bowling trophy.
What?
I got a bowling trophy.
Did you really?
And I can't bowl, but I was on a team that won, so I got a bowling trophy.
Wait, how do you get on a team that won if you can't bowl?
Well, I was lousy, but the other guys carried me. So I actually got a bowling trophy. It's in my office over here, and people always say, wow, you're a bowler? No, I haven't bowled in 10 years, but I got a bowling trophy.
Oh, my God. Do you feel that you should now, as an adult, learn to bowl well so that you're going to earn that?
I have no use for bowling, you know?
Doesn't it crack you up when people take it so seriously?
I really think it cracks me up. It cracks me up watching people bowl. It's just not even, it's a funny thing to watch people do.
It is.
Think about the motions people go through to bowl.
I know.
Yeah, there's bending and it's funny to watch.
Well, I feel the same way about golf, though. I find it very silly that people take it so seriously.
I agree. I think golf's kind of silly, too, especially the pants they wear.
Wait, but, so what do you do for fun if it's not bowling or golf?
Oh, I do wild things. I'm just a wild guy. Like, I'll go out with my kids.
Woo!
Or I'll go to the movies.
Wow.
Or I'll go into a hot tub somewhere. I just go into people's hot tubs. I walk over to people's houses and go in their hot tub. You know.
That sounds like something that would be on Fox.
Yeah, it should be, actually. It's amazing all these new series that are out. I can't believe these are reality series.
Did you see the Super Bowl yesterday?
I did.
Did you see the promo for Are You Hot?
I did, yeah.
Oh, my God, that seemed like a Saturday Night Live skit.
Well, actually, you know, that's inspired by a website.
It is?
There's a website called areyouhot.com. Or I think it's called amihot.com. And they've had about 100 million people on that website in the last 3 years voting on who's the hottest that they put all these pictures up that rotates. And that's exactly what inspired that TV show. There's also a show that I just got screeners yesterday from ABC Family. One is My Family is a Sitcom.
Where
they actually went out and went to different families. And I was just talking with Dave Coulier just a minute ago from Full House, who's one of the judges on that show. And then there's another show called Last Effort, or it's a group of people who are the last stages of their relationships, and it's either make or break, and they go on an island to see if they can save it in Hawaii.
Oh, my God.
The final story, the last straw, or something like that.
Well,
it's amazing.
I do have to admit that even though I don't like most reality television, that I find American Idol completely addicting.
Yeah, well, I enjoyed...
people who cannot sing or people who sing really well, it's just fascinating to me.
Yeah, I actually had Simon Cowell on the show, and he actually liked my show.
He did?
He did.
The toughest critic in America liked your show.
He had all nice things to say, and he said, I'm not just saying this. He said, I really think this is a great show, and you're a great interviewer. And I was like, whoa, come on, Simon, say something bad. You know,
wow.
He wouldn't do it. He wouldn't say anything bad.
That's, you know, that's worth putting up there, a quote from him.
Yeah, I never did. Actually, the interview's somewhere on the site, but I didn't bother doing that. I don't need to live vicariously through other people's comments.
You have high self-esteem.
Yes, there it is. There's the top of the screen right now. It says, you have high self-esteem, Suzanne Juan.
Oh, tell everyone to check out my website.
What is your website?
It's www.suzannehuang.com, SuzanneWhang.com.
I'll do better than that. I'll actually put a link to it up with this interview.
Ooh.
At PMPnetwork.com.
And then you can also see a video clip of this Budweiser spec commercial that I did with a friend of mine who produced and directed it, and I co-wrote the storyboard starring my character, so you would get to see my character on my website.
Yeah, but it's actually going to be a real Budweiser commercial, or no?
No, it's a spec commercial, because I don't think that they would ever air what we did, because it's pretty...
Well, you never know. Some of the ads that are on there, it's amazing to me.
Well, I mean, basically, you know, like, one of my favorite shows was All in the Family, and Archie Bunker was this incredible bigot, but you loved him, and people laughed, but it also made them think, and that's sort of my goal with Sung Hee Park, is that, you know, people have gotten so uptight and so politically correct, and I don't think that that's healthy. I think we need to be able to laugh about this stuff and talk about it. So that's sort of where I'm coming from with the character.
And Sung Hee Park is just the one to do it.
Yes. She's the Asian female Archie Bunker, so look out.
Now, tell me a little bit about you personally. Where are you from originally? I know your parents were from Korea, but where did you live?
I was born in Arlington, Virginia.
Arlington, Virginia.
And I was a Navy brat, so my father was an engineer for the Navy. So we moved around a lot. I lived in San Francisco and Hawaii, and Honolulu, Hawaii, and then Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Cool.
My dad was going to MIT, and then back to Virginia for high school, and then I went to Yale undergrad, I went to Brown for graduate school, and then I moved to Boston for 6 years, and Boston is one of my favorite places in America. I love Boston. I am a huge sports fan. I basically lived at Fenway Park. It was my second home. I knew all the ticket office guys, all the ushers. I would go by myself. I didn't care. I loved Fenway Park.
I am a season ticket holder.
Really?
I have front row seats by the Red Sox dugout.
Oh, yeah. I used to get a single box seat because single seats are easier to get than two together. So
well, if you're in Boston the time that the Red Sox are playing, I'll take you to a game.
Oh, God, that would be great.
I'm serious. I'll do that.
And I became friends with Al Bumbry, who used to be the first base coach.
Yeah, yeah.
And he got me two autographed baseballs on my birthday, one from Roger Clemens and one from Dwight Evans. And I just loved, and I would go to the Boston Garden. In fact, I own two seats from the Boston Garden before they tore it down and built that Fleet Center.
Wow.
And I still have to build one of those parquet flooring things to mount it to, because, you know, the chairs don't stand on their own. You have to bolt them into something.
Exactly.
So, but I have those. I bought them on auction because I used to love watching Larry Bird.
Well, it's something that's something that you can never replace. Those seats that you have are something that they'll never be available again.
I know. I have a piece of history.
Exactly. You really do.
And they're red, and they're all beat up, just like the garden was, and I just love them.
So you live on the West Coast, though. You're in California,
I
assume?
I do. I'm in L.A.
Yeah. You don't want to ever get a place in Boston, maybe?
I do. When I get enough money, I'm completely getting a place in Boston.
Mm.
I lived in Beacon Hill, I lived in Harvard Square, I lived in Brookline, and I lived in Alston at different points in my 6 years in Boston. And
you move around quite even when you're here, huh?
Yeah, I move around a lot.
I guess you do.
I don't think I've ever lived anywhere longer than 6 years.
Now, are you dating anybody out there?
I'm going to politely decline from answering that, Mark.
Really?
Yes.
Ooh.
I just really, you know, like, I was just watching Sandra Bullock on television the other day, and John Cusack is this way, too. I just, you know, it's nice to have something that's just...
Yeah, I wasn't going to ask who it was, but I just was wondering because I know you travel a lot, so I was wondering if that's something
that... I do.
That, yeah.
I just like having something that's just mine, you know, something that's just sort of sacred. Do you find that that's true of a lot of people that you interview, or not?
No,
most
people talk to me very openly, because this is not an exploitive show, so
no,
it wouldn't be used for anything. And I never ask personal questions. I just say, you know, you going out with anybody? Do you have any... You know, do you go out with someone in showbiz? No. That's,
right.
It just tells me a little bit about you, that's all.
Right.
Nothing
right.
personal, because I don't want to know who it is unless you want to tell me.
But, I guess I just feel like, you know, just for me to set a precedent is really important for me to just sort of, you know, keep that what it is.
That's okay.
Thank you.
I have
you.
No problem with that. So you're going to be in Boston May 2nd through the 10th for
yes.
the Boston Comedy Festival.
Yes.
And people can still see you. They can see you on HGTV Thursdays on House Hunters.
House Hunters, yes. And then look for the new Ben Stiller, Jennifer Aniston movie, I would guess coming out maybe late this year. It usually takes them about a year to do the post-production.
And what role did you play in that movie?
I play Carol, who is an insurance agent co-worker of Ben Stiller.
Oh.
And Deborah Messing is also in this film. And
cool.
Philip Seymour Hoffman, who I love. And Hank Azaria. So there's a lot of good people in this movie.
Hank's a really talented guy.
Yes, he is.
We had him on the show many years ago when that show Herman's Head was on Fox.
I don't know that show.
That was the first show that he did.
I remember him most from Mad About You.
Yep, Mad About You.
And from Birdcage. He was brilliant.
And he also does voices on The Simpsons, I think.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. Good guy. All right, well, it was a pleasure talking to you, Suzanne.
Thank you, Mark.
And we'll hope we'll see each other if you're in Boston.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we can take in a game.
Absolutely. And you're going to come see me at the Comedy Festival, right?
I'm going to try to be there. I will try to be there. You know, I may be in someone's hot tub that night, but if I'm not bowling, I'll try to make time.
All right.
Take care.
Take care.
Nice to talk to you.
Bye.
Bye.